Who is the Holy Spirit? Oh, that's a good one. Who is the Holy Spirit? What's your thoughts? He's been called the Holy Ghost. He's been called the power of God. By some, he's called an active force. By some, he's called God. Who's the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that he takes up residence in the redeemed sinner. And if you got somebody living in your house, I would think that you would take the time to find out who that is. Honestly, the answers will surely depend on who you ask. If you ask someone who does not come to church, if you ask someone who is not forgiven, who is unredeemed, what would they say? If you ask a different denomination, they will tell you different things about him or it, depending on how they see him or it. So who do you want to ask? If you really want to know about the Holy Spirit, who do you want to ask? Well, I know y'all got some answers. Who do you want to ask? Huh? There's a good one. Scripture, or is it Jesus? Okay, all right. Let's ask Jesus, all right? Long distance. Maybe we'll catch him before he goes to church. Voicemail. I don't know what to do now. You wanted to ask Jesus. That was a good answer. Thought I had something now. Thought I had something right there. I want to show us something. It amazes me sometimes when I study and I see things so clear. It just makes me happy. It gives me a boost. It really does. And I think this is one of those lessons that I think it comes together really well. And I'm pretty excited about it. In the spirit of asking Jesus who the Holy Spirit is, I want us to look at something first. John 1, 1 through 14. Now, I had to condense it just a little. I didn't have time to go over the whole thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we have this thing called the Word. Anybody know what a word is? Well, we just said it, word. Comes out of your mouth, right? Something spoken. Could be written, could be done in sign language, charades, the Word, okay? Communication. But then, all of a sudden, because the context here is the Word, all of a sudden, in verse 2, what's the Word called? He. He was in the beginning with God. So now we have the Word that was called He. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, through the Word, and without Him, the Word, nothing was made that was made. And here we have to jump down to verse 11. He came to His own. So here was the Word, and He came to His own. But His own did not receive Him. So this Word had some people that He came to, right? It says He came to His own, but they didn't receive the Word. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Oh, now we're getting a little bit closer here. First we started out with the Word, and then we see Him being referenced to the Word. Now we find out the Word has a name. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Wow, who are those people born of God? That must be some really important people, wouldn't you say? I mean, I know my parents. They're not royalty. These people born of God, they must be something, right? Verse 14, and the Word There we go back to calling He the Word again. Became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. And the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only Son of the Father. Who is this? Hey, yeah. Any doubt in your mind that this is not talking about Jesus? But see, we see Him called two things here. The Word, and when you reference the Word, they call it He. So, it's possible to be talking about Jesus, but to call Him something else, right? And we're without a doubt that this is talking about Jesus. He is the Word of God. He did become flesh and dwelt among us. So this is talking about Jesus Christ. John 14, 15 through 18. This Word, Jesus, He says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray to the Father that He will give you a helper." That He, now the helper is called a He. It's not called an it, it's not called a she, it's not called a they, it's not called an us. The helper is called a He. That He may abide with you forever. Wow, who is this person? Verse 13, the Spirit of truth. Boy, that can mean a lot of things, can't it? Your conscience, the way you think, what's true in your reality. Spirit of truth. But that's not what He's talking about here. We have to keep reading. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. Jesus is talking about these people. If He goes away, God's going to send this helper that is going to come in His name. Okay? How did they know Him? If you go back in the Old Testament, I mean, do we really see a lot about the Holy Spirit of God? How did they know Him? This helper that was coming, He says, you know Him. How do they know Him? The next verse tells us how they know Him. Well, He did. He taught them, but He turned around and He says, you know Him. You know Him. The one that's coming, you know them. You know Him. For He dwells with you and will be with you. Talking about this helper, then look what He says in 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Who is the I? Who is the I? He's speaking. He says, I will come to you. Who is speaking here? Jesus Christ. And He says that the helper will come. And the reason they know Him is, He says, because when I go away in the flesh, I'm going to come back in the Spirit. You know Him because I'm standing right here talking to you. And when I go away, I'm going to be the same person that I was looking at you right now as I will be when I live inside of you. I will give you the same comfort. I will give you the same joy. I will give you the same instruction. I will give you the same power to overcome life that you see Me do. Jesus Himself says that when He goes away, there will be a helper that will come. He refers to Him as He, and He says, I will come to you. He didn't say that the helper only is going to come to you. He yokes Himself up with the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, I will come to you. We move on out of the Gospels and we move into the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 3, 2 and 3. And here was Ananias and, oh gosh, what was her name? I know I should have wrote it down. It wasn't Sapphira. It was, anyway. Go back to verse 1, it'll tell you. Anyway, he says, here was two people, a man and a wife, and they had sold some land. And they kept back some of the proceeds. Okay? His wife, also being aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? So see here, in his walk, the things that he did, the bringing money into the church, we just did that. We brought some cash into the church. We brought time. We brought ourselves. He brought proceeds to the church. Because he was dealing with it underhandedly, he was lying to the Holy Spirit, this helper whom Jesus had sent in his name, who we see Jesus said, I will come to you. I didn't really say a whole lot right there. I mean, that's a story in the Bible. But when you move just a little further down and you go into verse 4, he says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Which shows us that when we have money and we do whatever we want with that money, God gives us the freedom to do that. It does not become tithes until we come and lay it at the apostles' feet, which is in that plate right there. Prior to that, it's your money. You can do whatever you want with it. That's one of the things that shows us. But in verse 4, he says, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? And what they had done is that they had sold the land, I don't know, $10,000. But they were only going to give $3,000 to the church. But they wanted the people to think that they were so great because they didn't tell them that they sold it for 10. They sold it for 3. And they said, we sold this land and we're going to give you all of this. Didn't fly with the apostles. And the reason it didn't fly with the apostles is because the apostles could read hearts. We can too if we let Scripture reveal the hearts. Okay? I don't think we don't have the gift that they had to be able to read the hearts. But anyway, he says, you have not lied to men, but you've lied to God. Wait a minute. I thought they had lied to the Holy Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit here being called God? We see that Jesus connects himself to the Holy Spirit because he says, I will not leave you as orphans. He says, you know who I'm talking about. And he says, I will come to you, this helper. I will be the helper. Then, in Acts, we see the Holy Spirit mentioned, and then right after he mentions lying to the Holy Spirit, he says, you've conceived this in your hearts, you've not lied to men, but you have lied to God. So now we see the Holy Spirit called God. And we see the Holy Spirit connected with God. Because the same thing happened to both people. Both of these people dropped dead and they were carried out because they had lied to the Holy Spirit, who is called God. Wow, you didn't know that. You had God living in your house, did you? And you have Jesus living in your house. All in the person that is called the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? You have all the authority under heaven and earth. All of the authority under heaven and earth living in your house. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Acts 5:8 through 9. And Peter answered her, and this is the end of the story here. Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yep, that's how much we sold it for. And then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Oh, now wait a minute. I thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit. I thought we were talking about God. But now we see the Holy Spirit called the Spirit of the Lord. You want to know who the Holy Spirit is? It gets better. We'll read on. Matthew 22, 29 through 32. Jesus answered and said to them, he was talking to the Sadducees, because what they were talking about here. He says, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Now wait a minute here. We have seen the Holy Spirit called God. We've seen Him called the Spirit of the Lord. We've seen him called the Holy Spirit. We've seen Him called the Helper, who Jesus says, I am. And when He says, you do not know the Scriptures, Well, that's that word again. So here we have Jesus, and we have the power of God. That's another name for the Holy Spirit. We'll see that in just a second. What's the context of this statement here that Jesus is talking about? When he's talking to the Sadducees. What's the context he's talking about? Verse 30, for in the resurrection. The resurrection. That's the context that he's talking about here. He says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And the reason it's important to see this is because the power of God, and we're talking about the resurrection. Look at this next verse right here, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The power of God is the purpose of the resurrection. The power of God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Spirit of Him who lives in Him, Jesus raised from the dead, dwells in you. He who raised Christ through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And when He told these people here, He says, through the Scriptures and the power of God. So now we have the Holy Spirit called the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Jesus says, I am Him. Right? He says that I'm coming. I'm the one that's coming. You know Him. I'm coming. We've seen Him called the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord. This is who the Holy Spirit is. This is who is living in your house. When I talk about your house, I'm talking about the tent that you live in right here. Your body. The Holy Spirit. All the power of the Godhead. Romans 1:16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. How amazing is it that God refers to Jesus as the Word of God? And then when it comes right down to it, He ties the Holy Spirit into the words that Christ speaks that we call the gospel, and it's called the power of God. The very words that we read in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost brings about the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that is the power of God. And see, the whole point to this whole thing with all of these names and all of these connections is you're going to run across people that are going to tell you that they have a relationship with Jesus. They don't know His Word. After what you just read here, is that possible? No. You will run across people who have say that they are a Christian, but they do not come around this table and hear His Word in fellowship with His people. Is that possible? It is not possible to have a relationship with the Savior. The Bible says, we just read it, that the power of God is in the gospel message. And the power of God is the Holy Spirit coming into our life. You cannot separate the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit from the message of salvation. Jesus came to Nicodemus and He told him, He said, a man will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again of the Spirit and water. And people want to take what Acts says on the day of Pentecost when the church started, and they want to separate that and say that immersion has nothing to do with salvation. They want to say that immersion has nothing to do with the Gentiles. It was just for the Jews. Of course, we know when we've read that Peter preached both messages to both Jew and Gentile. And He also said of His own mouth, He says, they were saved in the same manner that we were. You cannot separate the message, the power of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God from the Scriptures. You see, all of this works together. All of this is the power of God to bring about a conversion in your life. And there are people that want to separate these things, and they want to say, well, I know Jesus, but I don't know His Word. Jesus was the Word. Well, I tell you what, I was saved before I was immersed. I know that much. And yet, the Bible says that the power of God is found in the gospel message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And they want to separate that message. You can't do it. With all that we've read this morning in just 6, 7 verses, 10 verses maybe, I don't know. And all of this is connected where the Holy Spirit is called God, where the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. Jesus says He's the Helper. Jesus said He's the Word. He told people, you don't know the power of the Word. You don't know the Scriptures or the power of God. The power of God is in the gospel message. We have some very confused people out there. We don't need to be one of them. If you have someone living in your house, you need to know who he is. The Holy Spirit of God is God. If you're walking around in your house with God, you need to know what you're doing. Right? Nobody, Jesus said, nobody builds a tower and doesn't first count the cost. Or else then the people will come to them and say, and laugh at them and say, you thought you could do this, but you couldn't. And God says, you can do this because I am there with you. There is no power of God. There is no relationship without an immersion. That's not what people want to hear. I don't see how that you can separate it. You even go to 1 John or 2 John, I think it is, and it said these three testify in heaven, the blood, the water, and the Spirit. And these are one on the earth. We can't let people mutilate the Word of God in our presence. We have to know who He is. We have to be able to tell them and help them and correct them. How you do that, it's people are different. You have to confront people in different ways. They respond to different things. But we have the full authority of God standing in us when we speak His words. And it is as if, that's why Jesus said, you know Him. When I speak of the Helper, you know Him. It's as if you're standing there and you say, wait a minute, I got somebody who wants to tell you something. And you sit down. And Jesus walks around the corner and He starts talking to them. When you speak the truth in Scripture, that's exactly what it's like. The very power of God coming at them in word form. And that power starts in the gospel message that we've heard. How many times? 52 weeks in a year, 10 years, 520 times, 30 years, 1,560 times. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus, whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And he said, when he said these words to them, they were cut to the heart. And he asked them, he said, what can we do? He tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And he tells you, that's a promise. That is a promise. That is a promise that's backed up by God. That is a promise that's backed up by the Holy Spirit. And that is a promise that's backed up by Jesus. And heaven and earth will pass away, but those words will never pass away. He has given you a surety. He's given you a promise. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?